All right, here we go. Week 12, college football. Excitement down the stretch is going to be awesome. The Bear, Chris Felica, will join me and Brent Rollins, who obviously we've been doing this for a while now. Obviously, Rivals PFF contributor Brent. The rankings are out. The games matter this week. We gave people what to look for last night. What's the first game this week that catches your attention that you want to talk about? That it's not
The
actually. You know what? It's
elimination
got to.
game.
It's got to be Georgia. It's you just you got to go Georgia, Tennessee.
It does have to be Georgia, Tennessee, and I want movie theme for
Okay.
thinking about this game. So first off, if I said the movie, could you guess the theme? So first movie, Wizard of Oz.
Oh, geez. There's no place
Theme of the
like home,
game.
being at home,
There's no
home field
place like home.
advantage.
Georgia has not been at home for what seems like a long time. There's all sorts of laundry list of how long they've been since they've played at home and big games at home, things like that. So my other one, do you watch the Fast and the Furious movies?
I've seen a bunch of them. My son enjoys them.
Okay. So what's the sort of core phrase with
Family,
all that?
family, family.
Right. That or the other. So yes, I agree. And there's like Fast Five. This to me is like a, this is what Kirby should be doing before the game. Where Dom says, money will come and go, but the most important thing in life will be the people in this room right here, right now. Like, give the, you know, because this is a very important game for the chemistry, for all the things that aren't on the field, I think, for Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like the top 25 and top 50 list are people are going to start coming out. Like, and I got news for you, Georgia's going to have three in the top 15. Like, just think about that. They're going to have three players that are going to be mocked in the top 15 of the draft. So, it's not like they don't have a lot of talent, and it's not like they can't get it together. We've just seen disturbing signs, but home cures remedies. When you look at Tennessee. Tennessee was supposed to be earlier on in the season, was supposed to be Nico takes this thing and put it on warp speed and takes it past where Joshua Dobbs did. That hasn't happened. And the passing game hasn't been elite. And obviously he's banged up. And Bear talked about it this week that he doesn't think Nico will play. We'll ask him here in a few minutes. But Tennessee's best attribute on offense is running the football. Georgia's best attribute on defense is stopping the run. Like, so it's strength on strength. And I think that bodes well for Georgia. Also, being at home bodes well for everyone. It makes it harder to communicate, like all those things that you have the built-in advantages. So I think that's an important thing to look at. But I'm gonna tell you, Brent, like I don't think this is a high-scoring game because I know on the other side that Tennessee's defense is elite. Like they got a top 15 pick too. They can rush the passer, and they got some dudes on that side of the football.
Yeah, and it's I definitely think this is a first to 20 kind of game. We've talked about that a few times with various games, but this is another one to me, first to 20, and who succeeds and does anything offensively. But the interesting thing with Tennessee is how, you know, you look at Georgia's opponent last week, Ole Miss, and it's Walter Nolan from the portal, Prince Umami Ellen from the portal. It's
God bless you.
Ivy from the portal. But you look at Tennessee's defensive line, it's all guys that have been there. Those are guys that have been there. And you've got, I think, two transfers out of those 11 guys that have played more than 100 snaps along that defensive line. So it's just guys who are getting better. And the, I guess the sum is greater than the parts, or whatever the phrase is with that, because they're feeding off each other, and it's creating, you know, what is it, 20 since last season against Vandy, that they've given up less than 20 points in every game.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's such an advantage too when you have like the number one spot. Okay, you don't see DBs rotate that much. You don't see linebackers rotate that much because they're not fat. Okay. And listen, I'm a fat guy. I'm a defensive lineman. Okay. I've had my hand in the dirt. So I say that with lovingness in my heart. I don't say that with hate, but their ability to rotate fresh guys in that can penetrate, that can wreck shop, that can wreck the run, that can rush the passer. Like that's exactly why Tennessee's where they're at. They're not elite in the back end. They're not elite at linebacker. Like they're good, but the reason they dominate is because of that group up front. What we saw from Georgia last week was the weakness of their offense. We can talk about Carson Beck all you want. Ain't nobody throwing off their back. Ain't nobody making those plays consistently that he's had to make, especially with the weapons not being as good and being able to win as fast as they have been in the past. And then you couple that with no running game. So, all right, Brent, let's bring in Bear. I think he's ready. Bear, Chris Felica, I got to work with Bear for years and years and years, and he's got that big old cranium. Okay.
Hey.
Well, because of that,
by the way, cranium, it's a very smooth, good looking one too.
Exactly. I haven't paid for a haircut since like 2010. So yeah, I know Paul probably appreciates that.
Yes. That's well documented. I am cheap, but the thing is, Bear's brain is so big. So Bear, I want to start with, I remember the show a long time ago. I want to start with Stump the Schwab. I'm going to stump the Bear. And I got random questions in college football that I'm going to ask. By the way, if you want to put them in the chat too, I'll hit Bear with a random thought too, which will blow your mind. So Bear, I'm going to give you a game in a year. And I want you to tell me who played. And if you want to give me details of the game, you can, because I know you probably can, but 2012 national championship game.
Well, that was Alabama, Notre Dame. That was an absolute annihilation. And Notre Dame kind of got a lot of fortunate breaks throughout the year. Remember, that was the year that Alabama, with the one loss, got to the championship game. Oklahoma State was kind of in there as well. And a lot of people just kind of didn't think Alabama belonged. Remember, that was probably a little bit of a sore spot for you down there, too. That was another one of those wrenching losses for the Dogs in the SEC championship game. So,
hey, you know what I remember about that game, Bear? I remember us post-game on the field, and I remember one of the offensive linemen, not to be named, for Alabama. I remember asking him, I was like, dude, compare somebody to Notre Dame. Like, give me a comparison. He looked me dead in the eyes, and he goes, Mississippi State. And I was like, golly. And remember, that was the tail, the yep. fake girlfriend. Yep. They survived a bunch of games. All right, there's the first one. All right, Bear.
It's funny, too. I can remember, again, unnamed players, unnamed person who, when they were watching, like when they were prepping to get ready for that game and they were putting Notre Dame film on, the response from one of the players in on the Alabama side was, that's who we're playing? And yeah, so, yeah. Sorry, Notre Dame fans who are having to relive this.
All right. Bear, 2018, who played for the national championship?
Well, this is where I get into like problems with the college football playoff, because like they have that big 2018 logo on the shoulder, but really, like the 2017 national championship game, which goes down in the college football playoff era as 2018. I don't want to bring that game up. What I call the 2018 national championship game was Clemson, Alabama. That was a game where Alabama got absolutely annihilated by Clemson. Trevor had a massive game. I think there was a pick six early on in the game. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think it was like, what was it, like 45-17 or something like that? Just Clemson absolutely. That game was at Levi's too. Wasn't that in yeah. Santa Clara? That was a tough setup, man. That was rough. The location where that stadium was to everything. Not one of the better atmospheres for a college football playoff championship.
No, but we were at that game as well. Yep. First TD in a BCS national championship game.
Oh, that was I want to say Peerless Price, but it wasn't Peerless Price. Peerless Price had the long one late. It was Sean Bryson. Sean Bryson, it was, what was it, 23-17 Vols over that Florida.
You know what's
State.
Funny? What? You know what's exactly. funny about that, Bear?
What?
Is I was telling Brent I was going to ask you some questions to start, and I told him some of the questions. I said, I don't know the answer. I'm just assuming Bear's going to know the answer. So I don't know the answer to that one. I do know the answer to this one because I looked it up. Well, how about this?
I want to say this, too, just because – everyone was talking about Florida State and how they shouldn't have gotten in the title game, or they should have gotten in the title game last year and they got screwed. That Florida State team should not have been in the title game that year for the same exact reason that they weren't in last year. Because remember, Chris Wenke had gotten hurt right before yeah. the end of the season. Marcus Autzen was the quarterback, and they were completely offensively inept. And he actually threw a pick six in that game too, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, Bear, I don't.
It should have been Tennessee, Ohio State that year.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. I'm glad you do. First TD in the college football playoff era.
So that would have been 2014 championship game.
Gotcha. Gotcha on this one.
So that would have been Ohio State and Oregon.
No. First TD in the college football playoff era. First TD, period. So the first game, I'll give you a hint, was the semifinal game.
Oh, okay. So the first game of the semifinal. So that was Oregon Florida State semifinal in the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
I am going to say.
Oh, I'm a genius. I feel like I'm a genius right now. I'm just really smart. I know this answer. This is so easy. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday. Come on, Bear.
He's so lying.
I know he's lying. What?
Running back for Oregon.
I was going to say LaMichael James.
Royce Freeman.
Royce Freeman. Yep. There we go. Yep.
All right. That's good.
I was going to say it wasn't Mariota, and it certainly wasn't Jameis or Florida State that year. Yeah, okay, Royce Freeman.
I got one more for you, right. And then we're going to get to the matchups.
Okay.
This one was barely – I was barely alive. You obviously were a lot older. I'm an old 1985 man. Heisman Trophy winner.
Oh, that's Vincent Edward Jackson.
Bo Jackson.
Chuck Long finished second that year. That was actually very close. Could you imagine that? Like being college, like the way those two had differentiating like pro careers, and the way like one of the most gifted athletes, two sport pro, baseball, football, great career. And then like Chuck Long, who was a really good college player at Iowa. Like, it was a very close vote. But yeah, that was 85 was Bo.
So this was my life, Brent, and Brent, I'm going to hand it to you after this. Like, this was my life on college game day. Like, Bear was just, like, I literally learned, like, I started meetings, and I'd be like, who is this guy that every time we need, like, stats on a game, it's like, hey, Bear, what you got on this one? Bear, what you got on this one? I'm like, he sits right next to Kirk, like, he's a human computer. And then later on, he developed, like, after 15 years on the show, he developed into the personality, but that dude... You were just like, okay, Bear, I need this name. I need this name. Okay, like really quickly, you know me, Brent. I had to learn who to cheat off of on the test. I'm like, all right, let's go to Bear and pick his brain.
Well, I've heard stories about you cheating on tests before too. I don't know if you want me to get into those enough, but no, it's funny because that's kind of how everything kind of evolved with me and the growth on game day, like Lee Fitting and Kirk and Fowler, like they always knew that I had this like. Ridiculous memory, personality. I knew the betting lingo, and they always wanted to figure out a way to kind of work it into the show. And then finally, one of the years that the show went to like 2.5 hours, they were like, okay, we're going to do this. You can't say no, because I was always worried about coming across as a complete moron, the fast talking New Yorker, just flailing my arms all around. But no, it worked out pretty well. And the thing that people, and you know this too, David, like people always are like, well, you knew when they were coming to you, right? You knew what they were asking you. And I'm like, no, I never knew when they were. It was always impromptu. It was always spontaneous. And like, I mean, there were
makes times it harder.
Where I was caught either like maybe reading a daily racing form or kind of screwing around on the internet, maybe making a bet or something. But that was a hell of a lot of fun.
All right. So one last question before we get into the actual football. Going back to those days. Was there someone that you know, in that group that you would say was the most frugal? And why is the answer David Pollack?
I think that would certainly be the case. I think the time when he was building his home and he was essentially like bartering appearances at like autograph signings and things, I think that was kind of a giveaway right there. I think my man had free swag from every school that we went to. Like, I think that was another my man Doug did not know. He carried the ATM card, but did not know the PIN for the ATM card. And if he ever like needed money, like he would have to text or call his wife to be able to get the PIN. Yeah. So yeah, that would probably be the key and the benefit I realized, oh boy, we're dealing with a different how's the pork rind diet going these days? But one of my first memories of my man is like literally like bag of pork rinds for lunch, like all throughout the meeting. Bag of pork, we're eating like turkey sandwiches and such, and my man's got a bag of pork rinds that he's ripping through.
Brent, when I got to game day, the table was so atrocious, it was ridiculous. Like cookies, brownies, like everything. Like if you want diabetes and you want to be large, like it was there. It was on the table. And by the time I got out, thank God we had some fruits, we got some veggies, and we changed it around a little bit. And I tried to work on it.
Yeah, the TCU that one time. I was at TCU with you guys at one time. It was a lot of fun. A lot of, like, very healthy options. Very healthy options. All right, so Bear, I actually work with Dane Young and Coach Donnan with UGA Sports. So thank you for joining the podcast there.
Kind of ruffled some feathers with them I recorded that show with them yesterday.
You've become kind of a newsy item here with the Nico stuff. So did you expect that?
It was funny because I'm not a newsbreaker. I don't care. Like, I mean, I like getting information for wagering purposes. And one of the people that I trust on Monday was like, "Hey, I'm hearing Nico has a concussion. I'd be really surprised if he played." So, and like knowing Coach Donnan, like I have for a long time, it was just like me talking to a friend, and Dane's there, and we're just talking. I'm like, they're asking me about the game, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm hearing that Nico's got a concussion, and there's a good chance he's not going to play." And that kind of had dinner, talked to my wife, I'll hop back online. And like when you see like the 99 plus, I think it only goes 20 plus right now on Twitter. I was like, what? And like texts are like blowing me up. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then I see, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And I'm like, this is exactly why I don't break news. It would be like, but back in the day, it would be like, I'd either like, so if someone told me that, I'd be like, hey, Pete Thamel, go for it. Bruce Feldman, now go for it. And just let them do it a little digging. And I was just like talking game. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Look, and I even said, like, I hope he plays. I mean, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. And I think anytime you've got a big matchup like this, you don't want to see either team really be shorthanded with anything. But it's a big storyline for this game. And look, I was the first to say, like, hey, but if he's out there on Saturday night, twixt the hedges, and he's taking that first snap of the game, I'll be the first one to say, awesome, I'm happy he's playing, and I'm very glad that my guy was wrong, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
So speaking of the game.
whether he does play or not, like, assume, we're going to assume he plays, Bear, and he goes to Georgia. Georgia's struggling. The sky is falling. I learned so much about storylines and week to week with you. Like, I just remember when I started, I'm like, wait a minute, like, what are we talking, Bear? Why are you telling me that Michigan has a chance to beat Ohio State? Like, they're 3-9. Like, there is no chance. There's no way they can win. And then I started to learn about rivalries and home versus away, and you started to teach me that stuff, you know, young in my career. So I think everybody looks at Georgia last week against Ole Miss. Oh my gosh, the sky is falling. Shoot, like, we might as well bury Georgia. They got no shot.
And that was kind of, we talked about this before the Texas game, about how you guys know, you covered the sport, you've been around, you played it. Like, you know, it's emotions, college. You don't know what you're not going to get the same thing from college kids week in and week out. And it was a Georgia team that could nearly lost to Kentucky. They did wind up losing after that terrible first half at Alabama. And you knew going into the Texas game, they were going to play their best game, and they did. And I think that's the frustrating part, is that that's the Georgia we all have known to come and expect in big games. And then to go out last week, and you and I kind of felt, we talked earlier in the week, and I literally texted you and said, I got a bad feeling about this week. And you kind of co-signed on my fears, but I would expect to see an effort similar to what we saw against Texas. I think they'll come out at home. Look, they're a double digit reason, a favorite for a reason in this game, with or without Nico at quarterback for Tennessee. Like, I don't think Tennessee offensively can do the same things that Ole Miss did to kind of expose some of their shortcomings on defense. I heard you guys talking about Tennessee's defensive line, but I think there are potentially some plays to be made in the passing. And there were plays to be made in the passing game last week against Ole Miss, and Georgia just dropped a ton of balls. So I would expect probably more of a, regardless of who plays quarterback for Tennessee, I don't know if they're going to be able to move the ball up and down the field and score a ton of points. And at the same time, I don't know if Georgia is going to be able to move the ball up and down the field at the same time with the problems they had at playmaker, the problems they've had on the offensive line. And I would expect maybe Kirby and Mike Bobo to be a little bit more conservative maybe at the start with how many interceptions Carson's thrown in recent games. Because as I've been told by people who have coached and played the game, bad loses more than good wins. And I would think that they'd be looking to avoid the bad and avoid the turnovers and give Tennessee short field. So I actually did bet under in this game. Under 48.5 was the bet that I liked the most in this game, just because I think both teams getting to 20 might seem like a little bit of a stretch here.
So what are the data points that you are your go-tos? Like, is it a combo? Is it, you know, you mentioned the in our podcast about strength of record and coming up with that. Is it like, what are your four or five or whatever that you're like, okay, I'm looking at this, and first, and now I got a good feel for the matchup?
Yeah, I'm usually like, in terms of handicapping a game, I will always look statistically first for, I'll be looking at it like offensive EPA, defensive EPA, to see if there is a matchup in there that potentially could be exploited. Injuries, obviously, are always something I look at. Spot on the schedule, whether a team is coming off an idle week, whether a team has an idle week next week, who's their opponent next week? Is it maybe a look ahead? Some of the intangibles with motivation, head coach history, I think matters in this sport as well. But I think those are kind of the things that I'm really looking at for individual matches. But you mentioned like the strength of record, strength of schedule. Those are things that I do like looking at when we're comparing teams come college football playoff ranking time, because I think what the committee did this week was essentially just line them up by losses. And that doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah. And that's something that we can definitely get into, but it's interesting because the thing about watching or games and game planning for games. And one of the things that we always did as players that gives insight just to people at home, like we always watched people with similar systems that we go against, because not all systems are created equally. Not all defenses are the same, especially with so many versions of hybrid or three down or four down. And, you know, so we would always watch games specific to our system that fits, that's playing a certain type of quarterback. And I think when you look at running quarterbacks versus teams is a big indicator. Do you have that dude at QB? Can you rush that dude at QB? So I think there's a lot that goes into those things that make it fun. A potential upset this week. Do you see this? I think this could be an upset. I think there's a lot of things that would have to go right, but I feel like Texas and Arkansas is a spot. And I say that because when I've seen Talen Green healthy, he brings that dynamic. He's really dead. Like, listen, he got rolled up on against an Ole Miss, and that changed the game, and it was over. Like, it was a wrap. But when he's healthy, and now he's had another extra week, what do you think about Arkansas, Texas?
That I think is a tricky game for Texas here, because I think Texas now playing with the pressure of that number three ranking, and obviously they got A&M coming up. I think everyone's just kind of giving them this game against Texas, but I think, or against Arkansas rather, but you hit on it. Like, anytime your pride has to be hurt if you're an Arkansas player and you allowed 63 to Ole Miss last time you set foot on the field. You've had an off week to think about it. Clearly, you can go out and you can beat a good team. You've beaten Tennessee. You nearly beat A&M. So, like it's clear you can step up and win a game like this. And emotion, I think, is a big part of this. Yeah, on my podcast earlier today with Sammy P, who's one of my co-hosts there, he actually made a pretty good case for Arkansas as well. Quarterback, running back, both going to be playing. So, I would not be opposed to that as a potential upset pick as well. If you were looking for another big upset pick, I'll give you two. I'm going to give you one big one and then one not so big one in terms of spreads. I think San Jose State getting 14 against Boise State is a game that people are going to need to take a look at on Saturday. I think it's one of those games that you might look up and like, end of the first quarter score, San Jose State 10, Boise State nothing. Like one of those deals. And you're going to be like, huh? San Jose State arguably has one of the best receivers in the country in Nick Nash. Kenny Amatololo, their run defense is actually very good. Boise State did not look great last week against Nevada. I think Ashton Gentry actually fumbled a couple times. I don't know how many he lost, but it was 28-7, kind of a ho-hum kind of win. When Boise's gone on the road in conference play, the UNLV game was a great game. It was right there for the Rebels to win, and they kind of gave it away. The game at Hawaii, I know it's a long trip, but that was a six-point game in the fourth quarter. This is going to be a very, very tricky game, I think, for Boise and a San Jose State team that is a little bit better than I think the name recognition would say. So that's the big upset that I think could happen. And the other one, I hate even calling it upset. It's only a field goal spread. I think BYU's undefeated season comes to an end on Saturday. You look at the way they've won games now. They're 4-0 in games decided by a touchdown or fewer. Kansas is 0-5. I liked Kansas last week against Iowa State because I think if you look at the way Jalen Daniels has played the last month of the year, they're running the ball a heck of a lot better now than they were early on. And we've seen BYU give up a bunch of yards on the ground. Oklahoma State had a bunch, even that Utah team last week that's so bad offensively. They were able to move the ball. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see Kansas go to Provo.
Hey, Brent, this was every week, Brent. Like, just literally you're going, Bear, what do you like this week? Oh, San Jose State. Okay.
I actually had written down Kansas BYU because I think Kansas has lost their five or six games by like 35 points. Yep.
Five games, 0-5 in games decided by a touchdown or fewer. And, yeah, they certainly are going to be help decide who makes that Big 12 title game. Because last week they beat Iowa State. This week they got BYU. And their next game is Colorado. So they're not going to be in the game, but they're going to have a big say into who ultimately does go to the Big 12 championship game.
Right. You always got one every week. Who do you got, Brent, for upset or who's on upset alert or the game you're looking for like that?
That was the one I wrote down.
There we go.
Kansas BYU. That was my one.
Well, you know, if you want to take that one, and I'll give you one more big one okay. to potentially maybe we'll give Brent credit for BYU. Can I interest anybody in Wisconsin getting 14 points at home against Oregon? Now I know they were absolutely boat raced at home by Alabama early in the year, and Penn State just beat them by two touchdowns. But you look at Oregon; they've played great. Really since that Ohio State game. And you look at the schedule, this is their eighth straight week of playing. They haven't had an off week since September 21st. You've had cross-country trips to Purdue, to Michigan. Now you're back across the country to Wisconsin. You got an off week next week, and then they got the UW game on the 30th to potentially have a perfect regular season. I don't think Wisconsin is very good, but this might be one of those spots where another road trip. Wisconsin
night game, I think.
Absolutely, a night game. Wisconsin got absolutely rolled by Iowa. The last time they played that a week off the stew, we were on that, just like Arkansas did in previous week. Would not surprise me if this game is a little bit closer than you think. We talked about this on the show. I remember a lot, and one of my favorite picks of all time on the board was like when the college football playoff rankings came out, and like Texas A&M, I think was number three or number four, and they were a massive favorite at Mississippi State. And I picked the Bulldogs outright because a lot of times when you see where you are, the pressure, it's real. You're like, okay, we're number one now. We could be the one seed. We could win the Big Ten. Here's our road. A lot of times it doesn't work out as easy as that. So if you're looking for another big one to maybe take a lot of points and maybe a chance of a little bit of an upset, maybe the Badgers plus the points against Oregon.
See, and that's always the thing with me that bothered me with you, Bear. And when you made those picks and we started to pick these super dogs with game day, like it bothers me that I have to take bad teams. Like that was always like, it's very hard for me to go like, yes, I'm getting 14, but I'm also not very good. And the balance of that always absolutely was mind-numbing, drove me crazy, was so hard to do and so hard to choose. And you do that consistently. You got to take different teams that you know can put up a fight because of circumstances. And you kind of go the psychology of they've been beaten down, but now something – Kansas. Yeah, they're 0-5 in close games.
Here we go. Okay. Here we go.
They either really suck in close games and they're going to continue to suck in close games, or you know what? Kansas is mother freaking due. Like, they're just due. Like, it's going to fall their direction. I'm not asking
Purdue or anything.
Huh?
It's not like I'm asking you guys to take Purdue or anything.
Yeah. I will say this, though. You know what's going to happen now. Dan Lanning next week in the video that Oregon's going to put out, dude, they're going to put this clip, and Lanning's going to be like, that guy said we were.
Oh, I hope so. How great!
Because he'll use everything, anything.
How great was that a couple of weeks ago when those videos that they put out are awesome. When he was telling the team, at some point I'm gonna basically call timeout and call you over, and then for him to like basically go out and like go full like gladiator style. Look, they're all leaving. told you this was going to happen. That was freaking awesome.
Dan is one of a kind, man. Spending time with him, like, that dude is one of the most competitive humans. Like, he fit in so well with Kirby and Nick, and he actually spent time with Norvell too. Like, he's been around some really, really brilliant minds. Hey, another team that I heard you talking about this past week on SEC, or not on SEC, on Big Noon. I heard you talking about Colorado. Yep. And it sounded like you were like taking your chips and going, I'm a big believer. Like, Colorado is going to get this done. They're the team in the Big 12. It sounded to me like Bear was all in.
Bear is all in. And actually, Bear is all in on before the year. Like, I might have one of those like slips of paper. Actually, not a slip of paper, one of those digital slips of paper that says Travis Hunter 60-1. I might have one of those. That I'm kind of rooting for to get home. But no, it was funny because before the year, right around the time I made that bet, one of my buddies who is a really good handicapper and does a really good job with rosters before the year, he's like, Colorado's got the best 22 in the Big 12. They got the best starting unit. And then I'm like, all right. I'm like, I know they got the two best players, but the best 22, I don't know about that. And then to see what Robert Livingston has done to come in there and just absolutely defensively, they're good defensively. No one runs on them. And I think that's going to be the biggest problem this week for Utah is that you're down. Rose is out at quarterback now.
Keithy's out.
But Bernard is there. But it's like, how are you moving the ball? Like people have said to me, like, they haven't seen like the Utah football building like this down ever. Like I think that game Saturday night kind of took it all out of them. But I think Colorado, the way I loved them last week going to Lubbock against the team. Look, Texas Tech actually played pretty well for a half, and then ultimately the pass defense became kind of what we thought it was going to be. Colorado's biggest issue this week against Utah, next week against Kansas, and then their finale against Oklahoma State is Colorado. They still do some stupid things and commit some stupid penalties and have some questionable game management on the offensive side of the ball. But that defense, I mean, if I could bet like someone to win the Burroughs Award, if there were a market right now on that, Livingston would certainly be a very viable candidate. But, yeah, I think Colorado is the best team in the Big 12, and I think they will survive this week. They will survive Kansas, which I think will be a very difficult game. And I think they will obviously beat Oklahoma State, who will probably be winless still in the league at that time. And I've heard some bad things about Oklahoma State. I've heard they got some big locker room. They got some bad locker room issues, is what I've heard.
Yeah, and they were predicted to win the Big 12. Like they were the favorite. And you talk about tanking and nothing going your way. The interesting thing to me about Colorado is we talked about the offensive line as the biggest hole and the biggest question mark. And it just goes to show you, man, when you start to get great, when you start to get a quarterback an OC that gets you organized, that understands ball, that can understand what you're going to see. Shador got more experienced against good defenses. Their two tackles have played every snap. You know what's weird is they rotate, like, in the middle at the guard position. Like, I'm watching their tape, and I'm going – There's a new guy. Like, most of the time you go, we got five guys that are cohesive and together they're better. And you see, again, defensive lines rotate all the time, but they refuse to run the football. You know, they're doing a little bit better this year.
Yeah.
But they're rotating guys in the middle interior of their offensive line. But the difference to me and them and everyone else in that league is they just got speed. Like, they've got athletes out wide that are faster than everybody else's athletes. That's what stands out. Like BYU versus Colorado, like, that's a mismatch. Like, it's bringing a knife to a gunfight when you talk about speed and athletic ability. Like, BYU's linebackers, to me, think about trying to cover that speed and their secondary. Like, no way, no shot. But the protection up front has always held them back because that pressure gets in there so fast. But this year, they've negated that. They've protected Shador, and now he can hit his weapons that are greased lightning fast. And Travis Hunter can be, you know, Travis Hunter, which you know, it's interesting. I can't get down with you with the Heisman yet. I know you got a ticket. That's why probably you're down with it more. But he's been out of several games and hasn't been, you know, the biggest factor in the game that you know he can be. Like, he can be more of a dominant force than he's been. So I'm not down with that yet, Bear.
It is crazy, guys. Like, you mentioned the Big 12. That it's completely upside down, because four of the top five teams in the preseason media poll were Oklahoma State, Utah, Arizona, and Kansas. And right now they occupy four of the five bottom spots in the Big 12. And yet BYU is picked last or next to last, and Colorado in the middle. Like, Arizona State was picked near the bottom, and they still got a shot to win the league. It's been a wild year. So you mentioned the Heisman. I'm going to turn around and ask you a question. I said, if you don't think Travis Hunter is going to win, who do you ultimately think? Because I think it's down to two guys, and I'm not going to say who I think the second guy is.
Well, obviously, Cam Ward last week, that took a huge hit. So that takes him, I think, out of the mix. I don't think Jenty has a chance. I think Jenty's an animal, but I know how this works, Bear. I've seen how this works. I've seen how if you don't touch the football every play, you have or have something very unique, you don't really have a chance to dominate and win the Heisman. It's Dylan Gabriel. Like, he is the spinning machine at Oregon. Like, he gets the ball out quick. Now, listen, he struggled early in the year, but once he got his feet wet, and now Tez is out, which last week you could tell they kind of sluggish start off into that one too. But the reason Oregon is where they're at, it's not because of a dominant offensive line. They've got great receivers. They've got a good running back. But it's because of Dylan Gabriel. Like, that guy is spinning the rock. He's throwing it deep. He's throwing it short. He's getting it out. He's running and making big plays when he needs to run and make big plays. He's got those short, tiny little strides, but somehow they really work and they get him where he needs to go. But I think in the end, I think Gabriel is going to be the dude.
I could have asked Bear a trivia question there on that topic, because we were talking about it earlier in the year about how many years in the past, like 25 years, where the top two have not included a quarterback, and it's only like three.
I was going
to
say
it's very few in terms of that. So if it was Hunter and Jenty, things like that. So do you think the Big 12 is ultimately a one team league?
I do. I think the Big 12 is a one big lead, and I think the ACC is a one bid league as well. Yeah, and I think just to follow up on David, we were talking about the Heisman. Yeah, I ultimately you kind of said, like, you know what's going to happen here. There are people out there that just won't vote from a group of five running back to win the Heisman. I mean, fair, unfair, when your life isn't fair. But I think there are people like that. And I think of Hunter, if the Colorado gets to the Big 12 championship game, I think he's going to win it. If Colorado doesn't get to the Big 12 championship game and Oregon is undefeated, number one in the country, I think Gabriel. And I think that's kind of where we are.
Where are we at on the SEC and what you think about the SEC and what's going to happen?
I mean, what you could ultimately have, what, seven teams ultimately, 10-2, and a bunch of tiebreakers.
LSU is technically still alive, Bear. Technically, they're still alive.
I know they are. That you've gotten LSU. I was funny. I even wrote something to my buddies before. I said I would look at playing Bama at like +420 right now, and LSU at 35-1 to win the SEC. You're probably going to get like a three-way tie for second in the league, assuming Georgia wins this week and like all of the form holds. Like, you're going to be going down to like fourth or fifth tie break with like opponents, win percentage of conference opponents. And in that case, it's probably going to come down to Alabama, or depending on like the ridiculous chains of events that happen, LSU could be in there. But yeah, I made some bets today on Alabama, because you're probably going to get Alabama ultimately, assuming they don't lose to Oklahoma or they don't lose to the
Auburn or Mercer.
Iron Bowl, you're probably going to get the Texas A&M winner against Alabama. By the way, David, I need to chime in here. There was one other thing to talk. We were going down memory lane, and Miss Molly, my wife, who says hello, she's down the hall in the room right now, and she could hear us talking about all these great things. She sent me a text, literally just says, sleeping on the floor in your hotel room. So obviously, remember, one of the first trips was our trip to Michigan. It was actually the Detroit airport where we had a fly out and you didn't want to get in. I don't know if you were aware that you needed to get another hotel room, like you could, or who was going to pay for it. So this all ties into like
game
stories and frugality. And I was like, you can just sleep in my room if you want. So yeah, there's another great memory from the past.
Hey, and Brent, what you don't know about sleeping in Bear's room is the noisemaker is in Bear's.
Oh yeah.
Right here. It's right here. And then he graduated through the years, by the way, on the airplanes. My man just pulls the shades down on the airplanes. He's like, nah, bro, nobody's talking to me. I'm getting some shut eye. I've been watching too many games, and I'm just going to go to sleep. Just tucked himself in the corner with his eye shades on.
And I'm asking earplugs.
Somebody asked in the chat, how much football does Bear watch weekly?
Too much. You're interrupting matching right now. Actually, I did not have the matching on tonight, but that and Saturday from noon till the end of the day was like the best part of the day, because all of the work for the show and the prep of the show was over, and all we did the rest of the afternoon was sit around
on the Home Depot bus.
It was 64 degrees in there, lights went down,
that was too cold.
Food. We're punching each other, throwing stuff.
Reverse psychology.
Oh, rooting. Yeah, no way our pick is going to win. Congrats. Great call on the Superdog, David. All that stuff. That was the best time of the week, taking in all those games. And the good thing now is like we've gotten more good games now on Friday night. So it's nice to settle in on Friday night after dinner, come back to the room and watch a couple of decent games on Friday just to kind of wet the whistle before Saturday. But yeah, we were so lucky, man. We were four games on there in the box. Any game we really won, it was awesome.
Hey, when you talk about all these offensive EPA and defensive EPA and all the stats, like we've seen teams make runs and fall off cliffs, Felica. We've seen that over the years.
Yep.
Like, where do you stand with Indiana?
I think Indiana is good, but it's hard for me to expect Indiana to win a resume battle with anyone. Like they're in a one-game season. I mean, the game next week in Columbus is everything. They have, in my opinion, they have to go to Columbus and compete. Go to Columbus and do what Nebraska did, have an opportunity to win that game.
If they lose big?
If they lose big, I think they're going to drop like a rock, because they, by the end of the year, they're not going to have a win most likely over a team that has a winning record. They're going to have a team that maybe even receives a vote in the poll. And I can't take that team with the number 100 right now strength of schedule over a team like, say, Tennessee loses this week and they're 10-2 and they got a win over Alabama, who ultimately maybe wins the SEC championship. How can you take Indiana over Tennessee? Or how can you take Indiana over Ole Miss or Georgia? How can you do that? Like in terms of the schedules and the quality of wins, like I hit on that strength of record right now. And even right now, if you look at the strength of record, which takes into like who you play, where you play, when you play them, win probability throughout the game. It's basically what you have accomplished against the schedule that you face, what you've achieved. Like right now, strength of record has said it's harder to do what Georgia has done now, going 7-2 against Georgia's schedule, than it is going 10-0 against Indiana's schedule. And you just look at the schedule and you look at the road games against the ranked teams that Georgia has had to face, and you look at the schedule that Indiana has had to play, and it's pretty much common sense. I was stunned that Indiana moved up as much as they did this past week off of a kind of their worst performance of the year. I mean, that was a very ugly win against Michigan. Their defense made some plays late against a really poor offense, but even in even Texas, if you want to throw them in there as well, it's amazing how Texas and Indiana, like Michigan's the best win you could probably say for either of those teams. And like, this is a bad Michigan team. So I don't know. That's one of Joel Klatt and Tim Brando are definitely talk about, like the name brand bias. And you can't really argue with it if like Michigan is still kind of being perceived as a kind of a name that matters amongst the selection committee. But I would suggest Indiana goes to Columbus next week and does not get blown out. Or else they're opening up a big problem.
So we looked at I looked at the Bear Bets podcast on X, and you had some national championship odds. So outside of, say, Ohio State, Oregon, which you got at the top two, who are you looking at? And like, that one looks a little like I might need to look at.
Funny thing is, last week, Brett, we talked about potentially playing Ole Miss. If Ole Miss is going to win the national championship, they have to beat Georgia to get in the playoff. So if you're going to play Ole Miss to win the national championship, play it now, because if they beat Georgia, the odds are going to get slashed in half, or more than half. That's ultimately what happened. I think they were 28-1 last week, and now they're down to like 10-1 or so. So I think there are five teams that could win the national championship: Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas. I think the national champion comes from one of those five, and that's different from what I expected entering the year. Like, I thought the playoff expansion in this era, you were really just kind of expanding the field, and you really weren't making the contenders, the teams that could win the title, really expanding that. I thought it was Ohio State and Georgia entering the year, and would be fortunate to see anybody else do it. But now I think there are potentially five teams that ultimately could win. Ironically, right after Georgia lost that game at Alabama, I bet Georgia at 6.5-1 to win the national title, because I'm like, oh, there's no way they're going to get longer than this. Now here they are, longer than that. But
got five teams.
No Bama. That was the
other one. Do we think ultimately Bama in it? They were good last week, but again, I don't know. Something there makes me feel a little bit uneasy.
Yeah, I understand that. You left Tennessee off too.
I don't think Tennessee can win the national title. I don't think they're good enough offensively to do it.
It's funny because I circled from the top 15. I circled seven. Okay. So
yeah, Alabama probably should include in that.
I put Bama in there, and I think Tennessee, just because their defense, and I've seen Nico start to underthrow deep balls, which I know that sounds stupid, but that's a good thing. Like, now that gives me a chance to still make a play. Yep. Hey, Bear, one team that we've been to this location so many times. It's such a great spot, and they, you could argue, would be in a different spot this season. Just 17-0 lead over LSU, but South Carolina, like,
dude,
that's got to be a team that you've been betting and you're hot on, because they just
absolutely.
I mean, I love their defensive pressure. I love their quarterback running the football. I love Rocket Sanders being healthy. Shane Beamer, man, they got something going on there, man.
They could easily be 8-1. They blew that big lead against LSU. Nearly pulled the upset at Alabama. Like, I was a little worried about them after that first game, but they have gotten so much better. I love them this week against Missouri. Like, I think Missouri is one of the bigger frauds in the country. They're 7-2, but very easily they could be 0-5 in the SEC. Like, they really could not have a win. Very easily could have lost to Vandy. The Auburn game should have been a loss. And then last week should have been a loss. They could be 0-5 in the SEC. And you're going to see Drew Pine probably again on Saturday. The number open north of 10, like, that tells me right then and there that Pine is playing. And I don't expect Missouri to score very many points against that South Carolina defense. They got some dudes on that defense. And good for Shane for getting that chip righted after a couple of gut-wrenching losses against the big boys in the SEC. I'm a big fan. I like South Carolina a lot this week.
And the fans have been so good for so long. Yeah. Like, so many times you go to that place and they haven't won. Big homie, it was great to catch up with you. Tell Miss Molly I said hello. Yeah. And we will absolutely do it again. And I'm glad you got those trivia questions right, because I bragged on you. If you got them wrong, it would have been a long night.
I was happy I missed one, because then it makes me seem like, oh yeah, he knew these were coming. They're all plants. But the fact I got one wrong actually kind of shows that they were all a little spontaneous and off the cuff. But yeah, let's do this again. Come playoff time, we'll kick some stuff around.
Will do. Appreciate everybody joining us. Me and Brent Rollins, we say thank you. You can hit the like, you can hit the subscribe. We'll be back here Saturday night recapping all the games, all the action, all football, no nonsense, all the time. Appreciate y'all.